The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The risen Jesus appears to his disciples, offering them a benediction, a commission, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Children, please come forward for the children's sermon.
Today we're going to talk about the Pentecost. That's a big old word. But what it means is the 50th day after Jesus went to heaven on Easter. Well, you see, Jesus came down to earth and lived here with us on earth, trying to show us what God wanted us to do. And he couldn't stay forever. So he taught these 12 guys what to do after he left. And you know, they was pretty scared. It'd be scary to try to do things without Jesus. But he said, "You don't need to worry. Because when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down. And he'll tell you how to do things. He'll show you what you need to say. He'll take care of everything. The Holy Spirit's still with us today, you know. Whenever you do something good, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? And when you do something your mommy told you not to, it makes you feel bad, doesn't it? That's the Holy Spirit. Well, after Jesus went back to heaven, those 12 guys, they're pretty scared, you know. So they was kind of closed up in a house there. They was afraid to go out in the street because there's people that didn't like them because what they'd been saying and doing. And so, while they was hiding in this house, a big old noise come, like a loud wind. And this little flames come blowing in here and rested on each one of them's head. Right up over their head, there's a little flame that kind of forked like. And all of a sudden, they started talking different. Every one of them could talk different. And all of a sudden, they knew, hey, this must be the Holy Spirit. And they went outside, and there was people out in town from everywhere, from every other country. And you know, people talk different in other countries. And he started listening to these guys talking, and these guys was all talking different. And some of them could understand them, and some couldn't. And some of them said, "Hey, I understand that guy. He talks just like he comes from my country." That was the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. So the Holy Spirit's still with us today. Why don't we bow our heads and pray? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of that faithful and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.
Well, thank you, Wayne, for that wonderful message. When Acts talks about the rush of the violent wind and how it fills the room where the disciples are sitting, as we just heard, I think of summertime. Since my youth, I have loved the water. I love its power, its majesty, and its ability to relax and to exhilarate. For many years, my family would bring my friend since age 3, Michelle, up to northern Minnesota. Michelle's favorite activity was tubing. For those of you who don't know, this means that you tie a tube to a rope on the back of a a motorboat and start to drive. We still joke to this day about the many times Michelle would ask my father when we would go tubing, and tubing we went. I preferred to go much slower than Michelle for fear of the power of the wind, or rather the boat motor, and its ability to tear through the water and create waves. I enjoyed the part of tubing where I stayed on the tube. So I gripped that tube with everything that I had. Michelle loved to go fast on the tube. She would yell to my father to go faster until the tube flipped her up into the air and she dropped back into the water. I prefer scuba diving, where I have a breathing mask underwater and the ability to move myself where I choose. But today's passage is not about moving where we choose, as I like to do. It is about the rush of a violent wind that sweeps us up in its path. It is about that violent wind, that invasive wind, that lives within us and gives us the gifts we need to do God's work in the world. The fundamental difference between Michelle and I is that her first instinct is to trust, and my first instinct is to hesitate. The life approach that we choose has an ability to enrich or mangle our relationship with God. We recently saw an example of mangling. Our recent storm, which involved what sounds like a tiny tornado, ripped apart many trees and caused damage to a number of homes. Trailer homes were flipped over and destroyed. Tornadoes work in the same way as a bathtub drain. As the water or wind moves in a downward spiral, more of the particles are gathered and the formation becomes larger, gathering more power. Now, in the case of the rushing wind of the Spirit or an emptying bathtub, this can be a good thing. We want our drains to work. We want to be gathered into the spiral of Christ's work formed by the body, all of us with our different spiritual gifts making things happen. Yet we know that there are many different types of spirits, and we need to make sure that the right one, the Holy Spirit, is guiding our lives before we trust, before we take that leap of faith. If we are not following the right Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the particles of our lives are swept into the wind of destruction, so easy to find in this world. We need to know that we are following the right Spirit before we get swept away by a different spirit, because there are many things called spirits in our world. Please look in your bulletins at the Acts reading and find verse 11. I rejoice in this verse because I believe that most, if not all of you, and it is my firm belief that all of you do, know that this is the key to knowing the Holy Spirit. Once the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were speaking of God's deeds of power. They told many people about God's deeds of power and told each person about these deeds in their own language. This is what is meant by the Great Commission. Go and baptize, make disciples, tell others about the Word of God. When you love God and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to tell other people about the work that God has done in the world, including those deeds that God has done for you. And your heart is inflamed with the need to share the gospel. You will also know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit when you are rejected by the world for your acceptance and living of the gospel. We see in this Acts scripture that some of the people embraced what the disciples were saying, but other people thought that they were drunk. The disciples were not drunk, well, not with alcohol anyway. They were drunk with the Spirit, filled with the love of God to such an extent that it overflowed to all those around them. Whether those around them accepted or rejected the gospel was their choice. Now, there's part of the gospel text for today that puzzled me. The Gospel of John says that the disciples can forgive or retain the sins of others. If they forgive, the sins are removed. If they don't forgive, the sins are retained. Now, there are going to be many interpretations of this. Some people might think that as Christians, they can say, I forgive you, but no, not you. However, in the light of the Lord's Prayer, which reminds us that our trespasses are forgiven as we forgive those who trespass against us, and the greatest commandment that tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, we have to consider a much different interpretation. As humans, we have preferences and judgments. We will not and should not say that sin does not matter. We also do not forgive to forget and have full trust in everyone. We know shame well and can inflict it upon ourselves and others. So what does forgiving or retaining the sins of others mean? Can we truly forgive others or ourselves? Does forgiveness in the context of faith involve effort on the part of those who are being forgiven? Must they or we be aware of all sin and ask for forgiveness? These are questions to be explored. However, there is comfort in the knowledge that only God retains the ultimate prerogative to forgive. We are his vessels who he works through to carry out his ministry, but he is the high priest. He makes the ultimate decision about who is forgiven. Just as he made the decision to bring the Spirit upon the first disciples and each one of us and give us special gifts for his ministry. If preachers were the true high priests, it would look a lot like the Kingdom of Oz. Everyone would say, there is the wizard with all of their magical powers. Surely they can help us. But without the Holy Spirit, a preacher is just the one behind the curtain with a sound system and flashing lights. I did not choose ministry because I am strong or elevated or skilled. The disciples were a haggard bunch, and I am also haggard. In the weakest vessel, God's strength becomes even more apparent. God's power becomes more majestic. Perhaps you are going along in a godly direction, doing your work, and the wind of the Spirit was just carrying you along the whole time. Like my friend Michelle, you jumped into the wind with exuberance. If you are like me, however, the wind swept you up like Oz's Dorothy and took you where you were not aware that you wanted to go. But soon you are in a spiral. As you recognize the Holy Spirit within you and have love for it, your will aligns more with God's will for your life, and you get swept up in the tornado, in the rushing wind of the Spirit. Your life becomes that tornado for the Spirit. You crash into each place you go with your love for the Spirit. You speak of God's deeds of power because without God, you would have nothing worth speaking about. My husband and I were talking about the church yesterday. We thought about why it has reduced in size in some areas. Why do people want a leader to help guide them through the ups and downs present in life? Why does it matter that we live in Christian community? Why not just go to work or school and go out on the weekends and then start all over again? This is an easy question to answer. Because God formed the body of Christ to give us meaning in life. We only have a taste of true fulfillment when we are members of the body of Christ. This is where we find out who we are, and this is where we come to worship, to refresh ourselves and retreat from the emptiness and pain that are often found in this world. But with God, this world is not empty. And we use our gifts from the Holy Spirit to make waves, to make changes amidst the brokenness, Do not lose hope. The particles of the world will often get caught up in your tornado. Different spirits of the world work to be in a higher position than the Holy Spirit. For example, it is no coincidence that alcohol is called a spirit. If you do a Google internet search on spirits in the material world, you will find results such as a list of the top quality alcohols, a discussion of demonic spirits, New Age articles about the world of spirits, an awards ceremony, and a video game called World of Warcraft that has become like a second life for many people. There is also an article, just one article, on the gospel. So the biggest question for today is, what fills you up? If you were an object, would you be the Spirit's vessel? Perhaps you would be a calendar, or a television screen, or a shopping cart, or a radio tuned into a program on nature meditation. Is the source of your fulfillment in the real world? And when you say the real world, do you mean this world that you can look outside and see, where there are many influences to fill you up? Or do you mean God's world, where the Holy Spirit fills you up? Although I have been a lifelong Lutheran, there have been many times I have been caught in the trap of worldly fulfillment, and I am sure that you have also. But I hold steadfast to the Holy Spirit, because only God can heal what ails me and you. My story, just as many of your stories, has formed me into a person who hesitates before I leap. We all have pain that keeps us from trusting the Spirit working in our lives. And sometimes we mistake the broken world working for the Spirit's work. After painful things have happened to us, we start to duck and hold our heads, waiting for the next shoe to drop. So ask if something helps or hurts you before you leap into it and embrace it. Say, is this God's will? Will this move me forward in the direction that God intends? Sometimes the things that God intends will bring up questions among other people, such as those people that thought the disciples were drunk. People will often question the work of the Spirit when it is being done. However, we must remember the sign that it is the Spirit working. Does whatever is happening in your life or whatever you plan on doing witness to Christ? If you do not see your gifts being used to witness to Christ, and if you are in pain and not growing in Christ, that does not sound like the Spirit's work. God can still use the Spirit through these experiences, and sometimes he does, to say, this is not of me. The last few verses of the Acts passage say that people will prophesy in the last days. We know from the prophets that prophecy often involves the statement of what is not of God. So God will guide you. The Spirit will move you toward the good and comfort you in the bad times. The Spirit has been poured out upon you to give you life. And you are tasked with extending that life to others. God gives us signs to show what is of him and what is not. Move away from the spirits of death and destruction that prey upon your life. Upon the gifts that the Holy Spirit has poured out upon you, we all allow other spirits in this world to slip into our God-fueled tornadoes and lay siege to the holy power that we have been given. Jump into life and hold steadfast to God. Do not be overcome by the spirits of this life that only bring destruction. We have been given the great gift of the Holy Spirit and must celebrate his work through us at Pentecost. He is your strength through the rocky waters of life, and no matter how many times you are knocked off your inner tube, the Spirit will always be there to catch you. Because he is our stronghold, we tell his stories to others on this day and every day, that he might also be their light amidst this world's darkness. Let us pray. Lord, protect your flock from the darkness of the world and bind up their wounds that they may be healed in you. Amen.